Our reading is John chapter 12, verse 20-36. Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, "Say, we want to meet Jesus." Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, 'Father, save me from this hour?' But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." Then a voice spoke from heaven, saying, "I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again." When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was a thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this to indicate how he was going to die. The crowd responded, "We understood from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say the Son of Man will die? Just who is the Son of Man anyway?" Jesus replied, "My light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going, but your trust in the light while there is still time, then you will become children of the light." After saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. Friends, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is an important moment in Holy Week. Jesus is indicating knowledge of what is about to come, as well as giving hope to those who he is telling about it. I want to look at one thing tonight: the incident, what is happening in this passage, and its significance. Why did Jesus predict his death? Why did he share this prediction? Why was it important for his disciples, for the Greek community, to know that Jesus was going to die? Why is it important for us today? These Greeks, John wrote to the Greek community, these ones, they belonged to those numerous Gentiles who, like that Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, had embraced Judaism and came to Jerusalem to keep its festivals. These Greeks, they must be carefully distinguished from the Jews speaking the Greek language. They must be carefully distinguished from those who dwelt in the heathen lands. These belonged to a group of Gentiles, like I have said, that Ethiopian eunuch. Their request to see Jesus, it tells us something about the Greek community. Probably they were the most inquisitive race on earth. Some people say
They were very newsy. They always wanted something to speak about. They always wanted to understand what is happening in the community so that they have got news to go home and share with the community. They had come, I presume, from Corinth or Ephesus. And when they went back home, the question from their family would be, what's the news? What did you see? What did you hear? What do you have for us? And now, because it was after the resurrection of Lazarus, the only news was Jesus. From the Lazarus' family, from the chief priest, from the disciples, the news was Jesus. He was a common subject of discussion. Worse now that he is predicting his life, he more and more becomes a subject of discussion. And so it will be a great thing for these Greeks to go back home and share the news with their family. They are very inquisitive. It will be a great thing for them to get back home and say, we have seen Jesus. Hence, they make a request. We want to see Jesus. For them going back home and say, we have seen Jesus. We even talked to him. That will be great news. And if that was great news for the Greeks and other races and nations, how much of great news should it be for us? I have seen Jesus. I even talked to him. That's the great news we all should have. We sing a song, this is my story, this is my song. That should be our story and our song, having seen Jesus. And it makes more sense now. It's very relevant now to see Jesus now, so that when we get to Good Friday, we know who is this man who is being crucified. You can tell a story already about this Jesus who is being crucified. On two occasions, we hear of a similar desire to see Jesus. King Herod, when he saw the Magi is going to where Jesus was being born, he says to them, once we have seen him, please bring him to him. I also want to see Jesus. And that request was not granted to Herod, because through the voice of the angel, God says, don't do that. He wants to kill the son. We also have Zacchaeus in Matthew chapter 19 wanting to see Jesus. Yes, Jesus says to him, the salvation has come to your home, but it was because of him having the quest, wanting to see Jesus. And that request was granted to the short man. Salvation was brought to his house. But what is Jesus' answer to these Greeks who say, we want to see Jesus? His answer is, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. As if Jesus wants to say, if you see me now, you won't get a full picture. If you see this body now, it won't give you a full picture. I have heard people saying, a woman is like a tea bag. If you wanna see what a tea bag can do, just put it into boiling water. It's gonna show you what it is like. And Jesus says, wait until I suffer, then you will have a better picture of who I am. Because sometimes, as much as we, in fact, nobody enjoys suffering, but sometimes it brings out the best in us. And Jesus says to God, God, bring out the best in me. I am willing to suffer, hoping that it will bring out the best in me and the whole world. And Jesus says, whoa, stop it right there. The hour has come. Wait until I go through the west. Then when you see me after this, you will know exactly who I am. Which is why in Acts chapter 8, when the disciples ask Jesus, are you now restoring the kingdom of Israel? Jesus says, no, you wait in Jerusalem. Wait here in Jerusalem. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes, then you will go out. Wait and heal until you have a full story. Wait until I get glorified, and glorification will be through suffering. And so he responds like that. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Here is what I want us to notice, if you have not noticed it already, if you do not know about it. Today's passage, John 12:20-36, is a turning point in the Gospel of John. It is a turning point. That is where things change. The atmosphere changes. If you read back through John, you will see that everything has been building up to this point. From the day Jesus changed water, made them wine, that was the first sign, not a miracle, but a sign that Jesus is Lord. From the time people began flocking to see Jesus, from when he fed thousands of people with a poor boy's packed lunch, those were just builds up to this point where we are today. When he gave sight to a blind man, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, that was a build up to this turning point. And then we saw on Sunday, he was given a king's welcome when he entered Jerusalem. And yesterday, the message was on him being anointed by Mary, building up to this turning point. Now, all of a sudden, everything changes. In verse 36, Jesus goes into hiding. In fact, today's passage is the last time Jesus appears in public. It's a turning point, at least until his arrest and crucifixion. But today, it's the last time Jesus appears in public. And so he says, not now, not now. I am about to be glorified. Wait and see until you see a glorified Jesus, a suffered Jesus. Other part of his answer is, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. If it does not die, it remains single. But if it dies, it multiplies. He perceives that the glory of God lies behind the cross. The glory of God lies behind the cross. One father of the early church says, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The blood of the apologists, those who defended faith, is the seed of the church. And Jesus says, if I do not die, we will never have a Trinity Methodist church. If I do not die, I remain single. But if I die, then it will produce many seeds. And here is how I want to end. What is true of Jesus is true for Christians. What is true for Jesus is true for us. We must die if we would live. We must surrender everything in order to keep it. We must surrender everything in order to keep it. We must lose ourselves in order to find it. I must lose myself in order to find it. Those who live for themselves lose the essence of crown and existence. Hence, Jesus says, if the corn does not drop into the ground and dies, it remains single. But if it dies, it multiplies. If we live for God, if we live for others, we will find life of life. An alabaster box must be broken for its value to be known. Yesterday, we had Judas Iscariot and the chief priest blaming Mary for using an expensive perfume on Jesus. An alabaster box must be broken in order for its value to be known. It was when Moses hit the rock that its hidden treasure was unveiled. It was when Moses hit that rock that its hidden treasure was unveiled. And so Jesus predicts his death, inviting us to walk with him, to walk with Jesus into a place of pain, because there the hidden treasure was unveiled. According to St. Paul, that which God had made a secret, it was unveiled, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Londega has to lose herself in order to gain, in order to see something new, in order to see something better. And one writer says, those who die with Christ will resurrect with Christ again. Now here is the trick. We only have 1 week we call Holy Week in the whole year. It happens only once. My invitation to you is, if you think about what it means to deny, to surrender everything to God, don't make it to be about Holy Week. But Holy Week is meant to help us practice things we would like to do even in future. It is meant to help us learn from Jesus how he prepared himself for death. And then let that help us not only for Holy Week, but also for future.